अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद वेरी डिंग श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत आदि लीला चैप्टर 5 द ग्लोरीज ऑफ लॉर्ड नित्यानंद बलराम टेक्स्ट 22 चिंतामणि प्रखर साध्म सुकल्प वृक्ष लाक्षावृतेषु सुरधीरभिपालयन्ताम् लक्ष्मी सहस्रशत संभ्रम सेव्यमाना गोविंदमादि पुरुषं तमहं भजामि चिंतामणि प्रखर साध्म सुकल्प वृक्ष लाक्षावृतेषु सुरभिरभिपालयन्ताम् लक्ष्मी सहस्रशत संभ्रम सेव्यमाना गोविंदमादि पुरुषं तमहं भजामि चिंतामणि टचस्टोन प्रखर ग्रुप्स मेड ऑफ सद्मसु इन अबोड्स कल्पवृक्ष ऑफ डिजायर ट्रीज Laksha by millions, Avriteshu surrounded, Surabhi, Surabhi cows, Abhipalayantam tending, Lakshmi of goddesses of fortune, Sahasra of thousands, Shata by hundreds. Sambrama with great respect. Sevyamanam being served. Govindam Govinda Adipurusham the original person. Tam him. Aham I. Vajami worship. Translation. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is standing cows, yielding all desires in abodes built of spiritual gems and surrounded by millions of purpose trees. He is always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Continuation of the purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The full opulence of the internal potency of Godhead is always resplendent in Vaikuntha Loka, where goddesses of fortune are ever increasingly attached to serving the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. These goddesses of fortune, accompanied by their friends, always create a festive atmosphere of transcendental mirth. Always singing the glories of the Lord, they are not silent, even for a moment. There are unlimited Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky, and the ratio of these planets to the material planets in the material sky is 3-1. Thus, the poor materialist is busy making political adjustments on a planet that is most insignificant in God's creation. To say nothing of this planet Earth, the whole universe, with innumerable planets throughout the galaxies, is comparable to a single mustard seed in a bag full of mustard seeds. But the poor materialists make plans to live comfortably here and thus waste his valuable human energy in something that is doomed to frustration. Instead of wasting his time with business speculations he should seek the life of plain living and high spiritual thinking, and thus save himself from perpetual materialistic unrest. Even if a materialist wants to enjoy developed material facilities, he can transfer himself to planets where he can experience material pleasures much more advanced than those available on Earth. The best plan is to prepare oneself to return to the spiritual sky after leaving the body. However, if one is intent on enjoying material facilities, one can transfer himself to the other planets in the material sky by utilizing yogic powers. The playful spaceships of the astronauts are but childish entertainments and are of no use for this purpose. The Ashtanga Yoga system is a materialistic art of controlling air by transferring it from the stomach to the navel, and from the navel to the heart, and from the heart to collarbone, and from there to the eyeballs, and from there to the cerebellum, and from there to any desired planet. The velocities of air and light are taken into consideration by the material scientist, but he has no information of the velocity of the mind and intelligence. We have some limited experience of the velocity of the mind because in the moment we can transfer our minds to the places hundreds and thousands of miles away. Intelligence is even finer. Finer than intelligence is the soul, which is not matter like mind and intelligence, but is spirit or antimatter. The soul is hundreds of thousands of times finer and more powerful than intelligence. We can thus only imagine the velocity of the soul in its traveling from one planet to another. Needless to say, the soul travels by its own strength and not with help of any kind of material vehicle. The bestial civilization of eating, sleeping, fearing, and sense gratifying has misled modern man into forgetting how powerful a soul he has. As we have already described, the soul is the spiritual spark many, many times more illuminating, dazzling, and powerful than the sun, moon, or electricity. Human life is spoiled when man does not realize his real identity with his soul. Lord Chaitanya appeared with Lord Nityananda to save man from this type of misleading civilization. Srila Prabhupada ki. The purport is being continued for a few more pages. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Chintamani prakarasadma sukalpa vriksha lakshavriteshu surabhira bipalayantam lakshmi sahasra shata sambrahma sevyamanam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending cows, yielding all desires, in a boat filled with spiritual gems and surrounded by millions of purpose trees. He is always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. So in this fifth chapter, the glories of Lord Nityananda Balaram are being described in a very unusual way. This series of verses where the spiritual world is described here is the comment of Krishna Das Kaviraj on the eighth verse of his Mangala Charana to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he takes the verses from the diary of Swarup Damodar Goswami, Swarup Damodar Goswami in his Kadacha, in his notes, which he wrote very briefly during his personal association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is basically his realization of the nature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He describes the innermost secrets of bhakti. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami takes these verses as the basis for the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, as the spiritual and philosophical basis for Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because before we understand this very clearly, we will not be able to proceed. This is the very foundation upon which our Krishna consciousness has to be built. And here, glories of Lord Nityananda are being described, who is the predominating deity of the Sat, or Sandini potency of the Lord. We know that the spiritual existence is based on Sat, Chit and Ananda. And three Shaktis, or three main potencies, which compose the spiritual existence, is Sandini, Sanvit and Hladini Shakti. And Lord Balaram, or Nityananda Prabhu, is the deity, predominating deity of Sandini Shakti. Lord Krishna himself is the deity of Sanvit Shakti, or Chit Shakti. And Srimati Radharani is the predominating deity of the Hladini Shakti, or the pleasure potency of the Lord. So, therefore, while describing the nature of Lord Balaram, or Lord Nityananda, for this particular matter, inevitably you have to describe the nature of the spiritual world, or the existence of the spiritual existence, because the spiritual existence is more or less manifestation of his nature. And the seventh verse, it is said that he is Ananta. Ananta means unlimited, and unlimited means he is serving the Lord in unlimited varieties of ways. And one way of his service to the Lord is to create the scene for the Leela, for the pastimes. This is what Lord Nityananda is doing. This is what Ananta Shesha is doing in this material world. This is what Lord Balaram, or original Sankarshan, is doing in the spiritual world. He is doing this, he's creating the stage for this performance. And he's serving as the stage, as the space or existence for the Lord to perform his pastimes, his pleasure pastimes. And therefore sat potency is so important as any other potency. And for us, what is the significance there for us is that because we're also existing in one sense in this material stage, which is also manifestation of the energy of sat. But because it's covered by this illusory conception of us pretending to be the Lord, it becomes asat. Srila Prabhupada very beautifully explains in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita that our very existence is conducted in the atmosphere of non-existence. And that's the main tragedy. That's the main problem of our existence, because it's being conducted in the atmosphere of non-existence. And then Prabhupada says, he says very beautifully, he says that we're not meant to be threatened by non-existence. The whole problem of our existence is that we know that sooner or later we stop existing, at least in this particular environment, in this body, in these surroundings. This is the main fear of the human being. In Yoga Sutras, Patanjali, he says that when he explains Abhinivesha, Abhinivesha is the most subtle klesha, or most subtle cause of suffering for the human beings. He says there are five causes of suffering, and the first one is the grossest one, is the ignorance. But then when it takes the most miserable form, it becomes Abhinivesha, and Abhinivesha means fear of death. It's desire to live, desire to cling to this existence, and fear of death. And while explaining the nature of this klesha, of this abhinivesha, he says that no one is exempt of it. Even the wisest people on this earth are fearing of death. And moreover, he says, or actually Vyasadev, who is commenting on his Yoga Sutras, he says that this fear of death, which is instinctive, you don't have to teach anyone to fear death. You know, somebody, he's maybe, you know, 2 days old. He may be a cockroach who is totally stupid, but he's already fearing of death. This is in the blood. And Vyasadev says that this is actually the proof of our repeated existence. Because we have undergone this experience of death, which is the most miserable experience in this world. And because we have undergone it again and again and again, and we know how miserable it is, how horrible it is to live this existence, we have the fear. We have the fear from the very birth, and we already fearing that, you know, at one point I will stop existing in this particular form and shape. And that's the main problem which we have, which everyone has. And therefore, while describing the nature of Lord Nityananda, more or less, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is inviting us from this miserable existence, from this temporary existence in this material world, which has the beginning and end, and again beginning and again end, and which is basically the vicious circle. He's inviting us to the spiritual world. He says, welcome. This is a little advertisement. Chintamani prakara sadma sukalpa vriksha. If you want to fulfill all your desires, here it is. This is the land where you can fulfill all your desires, because it's made of the touchstone. Chintamani. It's full of consciousness. This money, which is it made of, is conscious. Chintamani. Prakara sadma su kalpa vriksha. Kalpa vriksha means all your desires can be fulfilled. There the Lord is tending his cows. So this is the point. And Prabhupada, this section of the purport which we read, he says that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are coming here to give the full display of the spiritual existence to us, and to make it possible for us to transfer ourselves to the spiritual existence, because it is very difficult. It's not so easy. For that you really have to totally, completely overhaul your whole consciousness. The consciousness has to be, you know, completely changed, because at this particular moment our consciousness is suitable for us living in this material world. And unless and until the consciousness is not radically changed to be suitable to the atmosphere of the spiritual world, we will not be able to transfer ourselves there. Srila Prabhupada actually is, in this purport, is giving a lot of stress to the travel. To the before, in the previous section, he was saying about spiritual airplanes which are there, and they're traveling in the spiritual atmosphere. Here he says you can travel from one planet to another planet. And basically, the traveling means, it doesn't mean that you just, you know, get a visa somehow or other and, you know, mechanically transfer yourself. Traveling means you change your consciousness. Because each and every planet, this is why in Srimad Bhagavatam the different planets are being described. This is one of the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, the structure of the universe. Because the structure of the universe is the structure of different levels of consciousness. Basically, different planets, Stanam Vaikuntha Vijaya, Sukadev Goswami is explaining that Stanam, which is one of the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, is this Vaikuntha Vijaya. It's basically the description of the different levels of consciousness within this universe, in order for us to understand that the highest level, highest possible level of existence, and highest planet which we have to strive for is Vaikuntha. But for that, to travel to Vaikuntha, to travel with the speed of the soul, which Prabhupada is so a little bit sarcastically even describes, to travel with the speed of the soul, you have to be the soul. You have to have the consciousness of the soul, or the consciousness of Vaikuntha. This is the only way to achieve Vaikuntha. You cannot achieve Vaikuntha by mechanical ways or even by the yoga practices. Even though Srila Prabhupada says you can, but normally yogis, they don't reach the spiritual atmosphere because this is not their goal. They're still remaining within this material atmosphere. So this is the question of how to achieve this. In the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada explains, in the first chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada explains, commenting on the verse, but it is said that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are coming here to dispel all kinds of ignorance. Srila Prabhupada quotes a verse from Udyoga Parva Mahabharata, where he says that there are five kinds of ignorance in this world. And basically Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are coming to dispel this for us to change our consciousness. And he says there is this five kinds of ignorance which starts from the identification with the material body. This is the first and grossest, the original Adi Avidya. This is the original Avidya, or original form of ignorance which we all victims of. So he says this is the first one, and then he says the second one, which is very logically coming from the first one. First one, we identify ourselves with the body. I am this body. Fine. You know, everyone is doing this. Sometimes devotees, they complain, you know. Prabhupada, oh, you know, some people complain. Prabhupada, he repeats again, it again and again and again. You're not this body, you're not this body, you're not this body. You know, why so much? Because I personally think that he doesn't repeat it often enough. Because despite of all these repetitions, we don't understand this. This is a very deeply rooted consciousness. Very deeply rooted. We are this body. What else we are? You know, we are this body. We look in the mirror, we don't think we are spirit soul. We think, oh, this is nice. Looks nice. You know, this skin disease, as Prabhupada said, identification with the body, which is the disease of the material soul, is very deeply rooted, extremely deeply rooted. And it's more or less reinforced. This consciousness is reinforced by our daily exercise of enjoyment. Because we have this daily exercise, we eat. You know, and you know, this is enjoyment, and this is the proof I'm this body. Because if I'm not this body, how I can enjoy this? And this is, again, goes to the same vicious circle. So, Prabhupada says that the second form, or the second shape of the second variety of ignorance, which is logically stemming from the first one, is that we think that the standard of enjoyment is material enjoyment. That enjoyment means material enjoyment, that there is no other form of enjoyment. That enjoyment means you have to squeeze out your flesh and see what happens. You know, you have to really, you know, take it to the limits and, you know, experience everything which this flesh can give you. And this is the material enjoyment. And then he says again, the next kind of ignorance, which is again very logically coming from the second one, is that you become anxious and anxiety because of this misidentification with the body, and then trying to enjoy this body to the maximum possible extent with such a gusto, you know, which all the people are doing. Yesterday I was in the... Actually, I'm speaking from the experience. Yesterday we were in this beach, you know, and you can see this display of... We were not different, of course. We were doing the same thing. So we were taking our bodies and trying to experience something, thinking that this is the pleasure. And because of this pleasure, you know, people, they become extremely anxious. They're always in anxiety. I need it, I need it, I need it, I need it. Somebody is enjoying this way. I also need to enjoy this way. You know? This is how envy works. You know, you see somebody is enjoying. This is how actually advertisement works. Advertisement, they show how people enjoy something. And they, you know, somebody is chewing something and you say, I also have to chew the same thing. yeah. So this is, you know, it becomes contagious. They show you something which is supposedly very attractive and you look at this and you say, oh yeah, right, this is the way to go. This is life. So this is anxiety. This is actually anxiety. anxiety to get more enjoyment. More enjoyment that you may even deserve, you know. They show you, they display you different kinds of enjoyment, and you think, I have to get it. I will not be fulfilled. My life will be failure if I don't experience this enjoyment or that enjoyment. And because of this anxiety, there is the next kind of ignorance. And this is all ignorance. This is all manifestation of avidya, which Lord Chaitanya is coming to dispel. And the next kind of problem or ignorance or manifestation of ignorance, because it's the same, is that you lament. Because you never will be able to experience the material pleasures to the full extent. And there is always some problem. And the more you try to experience the material enjoyment, the more problems is there. You know, you're doomed to have problems. The more you try, you know, you try and try and try, and this, you know, lamentation is coming. And this is, again, this is a very severe reason, cause of our ignorance, of our problem in this material world. When we become first anxious and then sad, morose, desperate. And in this desperation, we forget everything. This is basically a very severe cause of ignorance. And therefore, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, if you remember, Lord Krishna is saying again and again and again to Arjuna, Natvamsha Chitam Arhasi. You're not meant to be desperate. You're not meant to lament. This is beyond you. This is something which is not really... You didn't deserve it. You degraded yourself. This is the problem. We degraded our soul to this state of lamentation. By nature, the soul is ever blissful. By nature, the soul is so blissful that it's just unbelievable. But we degraded ourselves to this condition of lamentation, and we don't know what to do, and we're lamenting, and we're sitting there, I'm sad. And you become depressed, you become paralyzed. This is why Lord Krishna, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, he's fighting with this depression of Arjuna, because he knows when you're depressed, you cannot do anything. You're just depressed. You know, this is your mission in life, to be depressed. So sitting there, you know, or you're going to a doctor, please give me some pill to get rid of this depression, of this lamentation, which is ignorance. And then the fifth, the final form of ignorance in this description of Mahabharata of Udyoga Parma, which Prabhupada quotes in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, is that to think that there is anything in this world besides absolute truth. To think that there is anything else, and you have to strive to anything else. So that's basically the description of our condition, of our lamentable condition, of our horrible condition in this material world. But that would be again depressing when we hear these descriptions of the spiritual world and we know that we are in a completely different state of existence. We have to know how to go from here to there. This is the most important. The most important thing is to know how to reach from here to there. And in the previous verse, actually, it was described. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, in the previous verse, he says, Prema netri dekhe tara svarupa prakash. Gopa gopi sangi yanha Krishna ravilas. He said, Prema netri. To go to the spiritual world, you have to develop this prema netra. Prema netra means the eyes of love. Now we have this material eyes, which is the eyes of envy. The material eyes is the instrument of matsarya, of envy. You know, this is how you use the material eyes. You know, you look at somebody, he's enjoying it. There are only two ways to deal with this problem. Either to spoil his enjoyment, so that he would lament, or somehow or other to grab this enjoyment and enjoy myself. So this is matsarya netra. This is the netra, the eyes of envy which we have. In this material world, the envy is ruling supreme. This is the supreme controller of this world, the envy, within the hearts of every living being. And in the spiritual world, the love is the supreme ruler. So says, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Premanetri Dekhitara Svarupa Prakash. You can see this Svarupa Prakash, you can see this original form, which is actually your own form. And you can see your own form, you can see the form of God, you can see the form of the spiritual world by Premanetri. So now the next question is, of course, how to achieve or to acquire this Premanetri. And if I have a few more minutes, when should I finish actually? In the next few minutes I will try to say a few words on this regard, how it is achievable, how the change of consciousness is achievable by the process of bhakti. It is described in a very interesting way in our Vaishnava literature, and that there are five levels of consciousness. Five levels of knowledge and five levels of consciousness corresponding to this knowledge. And there are certain processes for each and every level of consciousness which is there, which is described. And this is five methods of knowledge, so to speak, five means of knowledge, or five processes of knowledge. The lowest one is pratyaksa. Pratyaksa means you see with your own eyes, the eyes of envy, this matsari netra. You look, you know, and with this eyes, and eyes is the symbol of other senses. When the eyes is, when they speak about the eyes, because the eye is the most powerful knowledge acquiring sense, all other senses are implied. The four others are included in this eyes. So this pratyaksha, your own experience, is very frustratingly limited. This is definitely a means to know. And people are mad. People want to know. This is when the people trying to enjoy or experience something, this is their inherent urge for the knowledge. They want to know. Because by nature we are Sat-Chit and Ananda. And Chit means I want to know, I want to experience, I want to expand my experience. So the first method or process of knowledge is pratyaksa, which is frustratingly limited. Then there is second, which is, and this pratyaksa is common for human beings and for animals. Animals, they can only know through pratyaksa. And living beings or human beings who are experiencing life on a level of pratyaksa are not different from animals. Sometimes people get offended. There is one anti-cult person in Russia. He's very ferocious person. And what he read all Prabhupada's books, or at least quite a few of them, with the, like Shishupal, with the with this desire to find faults. So he noted down all the faults, and he's always saying, you know, this Swami Prabhupada, he's a hater. You know, he's so hateful person. He always says, you're like cats and dogs. And he said he's offending our Russian people because he's saying they're like cats and dogs. So, but this is a fact. If the human beings are on this level of pratyaksa, and this whole existence is just experienced through the senses, it's animal existence. Cats and dogs, yeah, that's what the cats and dogs are doing. And if human beings are the same, then, you know, why you should be offended? You should be happy. You know, actually, cats and dogs are more happy. They don't have depression, at least. They don't go to the doctors. They're just enjoying the senses. But because you have depression, because you're not fulfilled, because you want to expand your experience. So the next level of knowledge, or the next process of knowledge, is called paroksha, which means indirect knowledge, which basically means that you know through the mind. And the first level, you know through the senses. And the second level, you know through the mind. And basically means you read something. You read, and while reading, you're expanding your experience, the sphere of experience. So you're knowing through the experience of others, more or less. You heard it through the speech, of somebody. Somebody described, oh, I went there and I went, oh, that was so nice. And you also feel, oh, that was so nice, yes. So this is paroksha. And this is comparable. There is this wakeful state, and wakeful state is the level of pratyaksha, when we experience through our senses. Then in a dreaming state, this is paroksha knowledge, when we experience through the mind. In a dreaming state, we also travel somewhere. You know, I travel in my dreams somewhere in some horrible place, and then some nightmares happening with me. So this is paroksha. And then the next stage is aparoksha. And aparoksha means direct knowledge. Because before that, it's indirect. The knowledge that the soul is experiencing, the experiencer is the soul, because it's the particle of chit-shakti. But in this material world, you experience through the senses, through the matter. And this is indirect. This is pratyaksha. Then you experience through the mind. It's also indirect. It's also kind of perverted. It's more expanded, but still it's not really anything glorious. You know, you read about this kind of stuff and that kind of stuff. And you see through the eyes of others, people, and you feel good, but it's still ridiculous. So paroksha, aparoksha level of knowledge is the first stage of transcendental knowledge, where you have the first gleams of transcendental reality. When you directly experience it with your soul. I'm spirit soul, and the spirit soul means spirit soul. And this is the level of knowledge, or this is the experience which people obtain through meditation. This is not the external knowledge. This is the internal knowledge of the soul, when the soul at one point experienced the joy of its own existence, which is not dependent on any material circumstances or environment. Like one person told me, he was with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, and he said, you know, that we were doing meditation for hours. He was very highly placed in the hierarchy of this Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. And he said, for sometimes we were doing, you know, meditation for hours, and there's sometimes the sadhana was 24 hours a day. And it was such a blissful experience. I had this, you know, this sometimes few times during this meditation, I experienced this light of the spirit, this Brahma Jyoti. It was so overwhelming. He said, this was the best. He said, before I was taking drugs, this was the best drugs. But then he said, then I came to the kirtan, and I realized that this guy is no better. So basically, and this aparoksha gyan, or direct knowledge of the soul, direct experience of the soul, is the negation of all material experience. When you come to the point of the negation of material variety. Before that, on a lower level, you experience this material variety. But then from that point, it comes to the point. All material experiences come to one point. It's like all the rays, all these varieties are coming from one point. Even scientists, they say that there was explosion. What exploded? When they say what exploded, they said there was one point. This little point exploded. You know, what was this point? They don't know. but it's a fact that this is the point which we have to cross to go to the spiritual world. Because this is the point which they're speaking about, the point which exploded into this material variety of this material world, is this margin of between the spiritual world and material world. So when you withdraw your senses and you try to concentrate within, and you try to experience your soul as it is, without any exterior kind of means of experiencing this world, you're coming to this point of unified experience. You know everything is coming from this one point, and I'm coming from this one point. This is the point, is the foundation of all experiences, and this is basically what Buddhists or other people, they achieve in their meditation. This one point, no variety, but it's blissful. But then, you know, if you know mathematics, you know that this is always coming from one point, and it's kind of like rays. But then, you know, if it reaches one point, then they say, that's it. You reached one point, that's it. You became this point. Because this is just a point, and, you know, everyone is a point, and you merge in this point. So this is this aparoksa jnana. But then from there is the spiritual variety. And the spiritual variety is being described in this verse, Chintamani prakarasadma sukalpa vriksa, naimidya tebrava pusela satambaraya. And this is the problem. Because the problem here, there are two more levels of experience or knowledge which we have to acquire. And we have to know the means of acquiring this. The lowest level of spiritual experience is called the saparoksha. The next one is called adoksaja. And adoksaja, there are different ways of translating this. But one very beautiful way of translating this, ada means down. Aksha means eyes. Ja means something which is born from the eyes. Adoksaja means the level of knowledge or the level of experience where you push down all your material experiences. You kicked it down. Sometimes Krishna, this is the name of Krishna, Adoksaja. And they say that this is specifically the name of Krishna who kicked this Shakatasura. He was lying down under the cart and he kicked with his little leg and this whole phew, exploded. So basically, adoksaja is the level of experience where all your experience of material life is totally pushed down. There is nothing which you can experience by your own eyes, but there is still this experience of spiritual variety which is coming down on its own will. And that's the main problem. This, for a few minutes I will elaborate on this problem, that this is basically, there is no means to know this. There is no means, because it's causeless. It has to come down on you. It has to be revealed. Upanishads, they are very emphatic of this. In Mundaka Upanishad it is said, Nayamatma pravachana nilagya, namedasana bahuna shrutena. You cannot know the soul. You cannot know Atma, you cannot know God, you cannot have the experience of spiritual world by any material means. You can speak about this very eloquently. It doesn't help. You can hear about this. Nabahuna Shrutena. You can study the Shruti. This is also included there. You can have a very genius mind. It doesn't help. It doesn't come into the sphere of your experience unless it wants to do it. It's just being revealed without any cause, without any cause. It just comes to you, comes down to you. And all of a sudden, you're there in the spiritual world. So there are these two levels of spiritual experience, which are the real spiritual experience. And both have to be revealed. Both can be known only through the process of revelation. One is this adoksaja level, the level of Vaikuntha. And the other one is aprakriti. And this is also very interesting term, aprakrit. Aprakrit means that this is something which is not prakriti. Our experience here is prakriti. But then the highest level of experience is aprakrit. And one can ask, why is it called aprakrit? Because you already left this prakritic experience far beyond you, behind you. Why all of a sudden the highest level is called aprakrit or aprakrit? Because it's deceivingly similar to the prakritic experience. And this is the danger. The highest level of experience, which is described here in this verse, is called aprakrit because you can very easily mix it with our experience in this world. It's simple. Krishna is living there. And Krishna is a simple guy. You know, and sometimes I know many devotees have these doubts, and I was asked many times in a very confidential manner, does he really exist? Because after so many years of chanting Krishna, they ask, he really exists? You mean to say that he is like this? Really? This is actually the wonder of spiritual world and spiritual existence. Even Lord Brahma, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, after this Brahma Vimohan Leela, he comes to Krishna. And he sees this little boy Krishna. And Krishna, you know, he can't care less. There is this four-headed creature in front of him. And this four-headed creature is crying. The tears are coming from his, you know, eyes, eight eyes. You know. And what he says, in all his prayers, Lord Brahma says, I cannot understand you. Please, please forgive me, because I just thought you so ordinary. Actually, it is explained that what blew Brahma's mind is that Krishna was eating something. He was keeping some food, morsel of food in his hand. But what really blew Brahma's mind is that he was keeping it in the left hand. Because Brahma is a very cultured, you know, he's from Vedic culture, and you cannot take it with the left hand. Left hand is muchi, you know. And here is somebody who is supposed to be the Supreme Lord, and you know, he's dirty. He's with this, you know, dust of the cows, and he is this with this, you know, stupid peacock feather there, which is nothing special, you know, and with this very simple garland, and he's. And moreover, he is eating with his left hand. This is too much, you know. Brahma was totally disgusted. He said, let's check him out. Is it really true? So when he comes down and when he begs forgiveness from Krishna, he says, no, immediate Ebrava Pusela Sadambara. He said, I can't understand you. You know, you're too simple for me to understand. Because Brahma is very complicated. He is the creator. And what he sees that here is somebody who is so simple, but at the same time, he is the Supreme Lord. So what is actually being said there, that the highest level of spiritual experience is aprakrit. It's so apparently deceivingly simple, but at the same time, it's the highest. It's the highest possible thing. You know, Krishna is tending cows. And the cows, you know, cows is the lowest position in the human society. Cowherds are not very intellectual, they're not very, you know, and I know one, I had an experience, there is one lady philosopher. This is very strange combination. Ladies, they're usually not philosophers, but there are sometimes, nowadays in Kali Yuga, there are ladies philosophers, so she comes. And every time when I go to one city, she comes to see me. And it always comes to the same point. She says, you mean to say that God is tending cows? You know, this is too much. You know? I cannot accept this. I can accept everything else, but not this, you know. I ask, well, what else he could do? Please tell me. This is nice to tend cows. But this is so far beyond. This is too far out. This is so far out, you know. She says, I'm asking, what is your conception of God? She says, he's a big mirror. It's a big mirror, you know, hanging somewhere there in the universe. You come to this mirror and you look at this mirror. This is what they can relate to. But when it is expressed, and not only them. Lord Brahma says, I cannot relate to it either. I'm sorry. It's too simple for me. So this is how you can understand this. Lord Brahma cannot understand this. Nobody can understand this. Lord Krishna says in Upanishad again and again, the verses after verses after verses, it is said in Upanishad, you cannot know God. You cannot know Atma. It's inconceivable. It can only be, you know, somehow or other descend upon you. But what it means? What does it mean for us? Does it mean for us that we have to sit and wait when it comes to us, you know? When does it come? You know? Can we do something? So that's the point. That's actually the whole lecture. I was trying to say this, and I finally say this and finish my lecture. I'm sorry for keeping you so long. but this is the most hopeful part of the lecture, because the point is that even though, and this is why, this is actually my little purport or this last part of this purport, where Prabhupada says that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are coming here to dispel our ignorance and coming here to save us from this grossest type of ignorance. They're coming here to give us the way, to get rid of all our problems altogether and to achieve this highest form of spiritual experience. So what is it? If it's self-manifest, if it's causeless, and we know it's causeless, the spiritual experience, bhakti is causeless, right? Ahaitukya pratihata. Bhakti is causeless. The Lord is causeless himself. His mercy is causeless. What it means? You know, it means that basically I cannot do anything to achieve this bhakti, right? Because it's causeless. If you say that I have to do something to achieve bhakti, it means it has a cause. But it's causeless. It's swarat, it's independent. It can come, it cannot come. And it makes it very difficult to understand for us, you know, what we're supposed to do then. You know, shall we do something or shall we not do something? And when we hear this, that bhakti is causeless, we start understanding, yeah, now I understand why I don't have bhakti, because it didn't come to me, you know. But, you know, if you only stop at this level, then it's kind of useless. To say about something that this is causeless, it means that you cannot do anything about it, and it basically means that either you have to be depressed for the rest of your life because you cannot do anything, or you just do something else which is within the sphere of your influence. Even Krishna says, you know, why you should lament about something which is beyond your sphere of your influence? You have to do something which is within the sphere of your influence. So if bhakti is just has to descend upon us and we cannot do anything to get it, then it's useless. It's a useless statement. But the good news is that we can. And this is what I wanted to say, how to actually achieve this experience. To achieve this experience, Rupa Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they go out of their ways to explain that there is sadhana, or there is ways which you have to do to achieve love. This experience of spiritual world, this the most blissful, the most amazing experience which is there, which everyone has to hanker. Vaikuntha Vijaya, this highest place of spiritual consciousness is achievable by your own endeavors. In a sense, it is achievable. And the whole Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is how to achieve it. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Madhuri Kadambini, he explains in the first verse, in the first shower of Madhuri Kadambini, in a very clever way, he explains that bhaktiya sanjataya bhaktiya. Bhakti is independent, but it means that it's coming from bhakti. And it means that bhava, or this experience of love, which opens your eyes to the amazing spiritual experience of spiritual world, is achievable through sadhana, because sadhana belongs to the category of bhakti already. And this sadhana is special, and this is, please give me one more chance to say this, that this sadhana, how it is the means to achieve this love, it is explained by Rupa Goswami. I don't have time to do this in a very elaborate way, but it's very interesting how it is explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It is explained in Madhuri Kadambini. It is explained the stages, and this is the normal way which everyone has to go. The normal way, first to acquire Shraddha, and from Shraddha you get initiation, Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu Sangha means Guru Sangha. You get association with the saints, and you listen to them, and then Bhajana Kriya, you perform your process of devotional service, and then at one point after Bhajana Kriya, gradually the heart is being purified from all these desires. And this is the standard way to achieve bhava. But we have to know, for this to work, we have to really remember about the goal. Because this is the difference. There are other ways to achieve bhakti, but they are not recommended ways. In the shastras there are many instances or examples of how people achieved bhakti. Like Putin achieved bhakti. This is also a way to achieve bhakti. You go to Krishna and you try to feed him with your breast, which is poison, and you push it in his throat, and then you achieve bhakti. No need to go all this sadhana and this and that. Just try to poison Krishna. No, it doesn't work. It's not a common way. And actually, it's interesting. In Sri Sampradaya, Ramanuja, he gives a definition of bhakti. And this definition of bhakti which Ramanuja gives is the words of Marichi demon. And Marichi demon, when he was kicked by Ram, you know, once he pushed an arrow into this Marichi, and Marichi, he flew for many, many yojanas. And he tells to Ravana, he shares his experiences of bhakti with Ravana. And he says, Marichi says, since that time, when I was hit by the arrow of Lord Ram, I see Lord Ram behind every tree. I look in the tree, I say, he must be hiding behind this. He says, this is bhakti. Bhakti means that you see the Lord everywhere. Bhakti means you see the human being. And you see the human being, but you know that the Lord is within his heart. This is bhakti. And you approach human being not just like a nasty, dirty, envious person who is around you and who is somehow or other, you know, total hindrance to your progress of bhakti. But you see him as somebody who carries the Lord within his heart. So this is bhakti. And the general way to achieve bhakti is through bhakti. And the bhakti starts from the very beginning, Adausrada. It starts from the face, when we acquire face. And when we build our experiences upon this face, foundation of Shraddha, and when we engaged in sadhana bhakti, then gradually, bhava bhakti will come. But for bhava to come, we have to remember that this is the goal. And the difference, and this is the very last statement which I will make, because Prabhupada is speaking here about yoga sadhana. All this karma sadhana is there. So many sadhanas are there. The difference between bhakti sadhana and any other sadhana is that you have to be really conscious about it. And the tendency in us will be there to perform it mechanically. Why it is pleasing to the Lord? Why do we get the mercy of the Lord through this sadhana? Because it's not mechanical. And therefore, it's the way to obtain bhava or love of God. We consciously strive to have this bhava, and we try to please the Lord, and by doing this, and we're trying to, you know, infuse consciousness within each and every action of ours. Then only it will work. Then only bhava will come, and bhava, we will experience this love of God. Whereas any other sadhana, yoga sadhana, karma sadhana, even jnana sadhana, is mechanical. And therefore the Lord is never pleased with it. It's ridiculous to suggest that the Lord is pleased, by seeing somebody who is sitting in a lotus posture for 3 hours. They say this is the perfection. If you can sit in Padmasana for 3 hours, this is perfection of yoga. That is, you know, the Lord is looking at this and says, well, this is a stupid guy. He's wasting his life trying to, do this sadhana. So the difference is, from the very beginning, and this is the gist of this description of the ladder of bhakti, is that it's conscious, not mechanical, from the very first stage up to the highest stage of experience. Shraddha is experience. Sadhusanga is experience when you are there, when you have to be present. You know, if you are just sitting dull as we usually are, it's not sadhana. It's not. The first point of sadhana is guru bhakti. You have to develop guru. Means you have to be personal. You have to be personal. You have to invest your consciousness. You have to be there consciously. And then, you know, bhajana kriya means you push yourself to do it because it's against your nature, against your material nature. But still you push yourself to do it with the goal
with having in mind the goal of achieving Bhava Bhakti, and then, you know, Anatta Nivritti will come, and then Nishta will come, and then all the problems will disappear, and then after that Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Haribo, you know, so nice. But before that, you know, we have to really overcome this mechanical nature, because we acquire this material, mechanical nature. And therefore we try to do everything mechanically, without investing our heart and our consciousness. And that's the main problem. And that's what aparada means. Aparada means when you're mechanical. And when you perform bhakti in a mechanical way, it's an offensive way. And that's why the problems come. So the only way, this is Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, he explained in a very beautiful way. He said, what is the difference between aparada stage of chanting, aparada nam, namaparada, and clearing stage, namabhas? He said the only difference is that namaparada, and when you do it mechanically, when you do blah, 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 blah. This is namaparada. And the only difference is that when you try to invest your consciousness within this process, trying to understand what you're doing, this is already a bhas. This is already clearing stage. In other words, this is the stage of practice. This is where the practice becomes practice, where the sadhana becomes sadhana. Before that, it's not sadhana, it's just your way of committing aparadas. Instead of doing it there, you're doing it here. So that's... But Lord Chaitanya, he came and he brought the sadhana, and he said, this is bhakti. And he's so merciful that he gives the experience of this spiritual experience from the very beginning. From the very beginning, sometimes you know, this, again, quoting this man who came, he said, I was in this, you know, in this Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, he said, you know, so much experiences I had, and then I came to a kirtan, and this kirtan was for 3 hours, and I said, my goodness, I never had anything like this for 3 hours, and these guys have this every day, you know, this is the real yoga. So you joined immediately. But when we do it in a mechanical way, it loses the whole charm. It loses everything. Everything evaporates. And it just comes down on our level of aparada. So Lord Chaitanya came to give us this, you know, amazing experience. And we all can have it. No doubt about it. He is all merciful Lord. He already said, it's yours. But it's just no cause. You know, Patita Pavana, the only cause to get bhakti in this age of Kali is to be fallen. If you're fallen, no problem, you can get it. Patita Pavana had a Tava Avatara. So if you're fallen, you have the qualification to get bhakti, but then you have to do something, and that's what it is. This experience of spiritual world is ready there for you, but you know, you have to make little endeavors to get it. I'm really sorry for such an impasse. Thank you very much. I guess we can finish now.
Can you explain the mechanical?
Mechanical means when we don't invest the consciousness, when the consciousness is absent. You know, we are spirit soul, and spirit soul means to be soul means to be conscious, right? But we are here in this material world, we are more or less trained to be mechanical. We think that this is the best way, you know, to do something in a very mechanical way, because this is not no hassle. You know, you're smart if you can do something with the least resistance, you know, without any investing any of your energy. But the energy of the soul is that you invest the consciousness there. So this is what not mechanical means. And if you just do it with your body, even with your mind is also a mechanism. Mind is also kind of very stupid machine, which is blah, 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 just saying something there. It's also mechanical, but at least if the attention is there, and if the heart, if the soul is alert, if the soul is there, And you can see it, you know. You can, like, for example, you can bow down in a mechanical way, and it actually doesn't help so much. It's just a physical exercise. It may help you, you know, to keep your body fit, you know, if you do so many obeisances every day, but it doesn't help. But in non-mechanical way, when you do it with your body, but then, as Lord Brahma said in this prayers, in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, what is it? What is this famous verse? Hrit Vapupi. What is this? What is this verse? The most famous verse about experiencing the fruits of our karma, that the devotee mukti padaya sabaya sadaya bhak tatenu kampam susamikshamana bhujana evat mahridam vipakam hrid bhakva pudyar vidadan namaste. Then Lord Brahma said that if somebody, while experiencing this life, and this is his recipe, while experiencing the problems of this life, he is always grateful to the Lord. And gratefulness is actually the first step towards making our sadhana not mechanical. We don't have love, no problem. Lord Krishna knows this. He doesn't expect that all of a sudden you have love. But you have to be grateful. That you can have. The gratitude is the little simple thing. So Lord Brahma said there, explaining what is not mechanical. He's explaining that this that when you experience this, all these suffering conditions of the life, at the same time you try to be grateful to the Lord and say thank you very much by Hrid Vak Avapubir, by your body paying obeisances, by your Vak, by your speech paying obeisances when you speak about this, and by your heart, by your consciousness. If you do this, if you're grateful to the Lord with these three, not just one or two, but with the three aspects of your being, then it's not mechanical. Then heart has to be involved into this, on a certain level at least of awareness. So copies have so much opportunities. Gopis say, you know, Lord Krishna puts his foot on our chest. This is much more intimate. And it seems to me that he always wants to be carried by Krishna on his shoulders. But gopis, they don't strive for this. They want to put Krishna upon their chest. Gopis have very, you know, don't worry. When you become gopi, you will not regret. Well, sometime it will happen. May take some time, but.
I don't know, maybe I'm speculating, but am I wrong? You can correct me if I'm wrong. But Srupa City has said, can't be developed. It's just recovered, uncovered in their practice. I don't know, is that Shastra? So if one wants to be a gopi, but one is a peacock in the spiritual world, how do you become a gopi?
You will know it. You don't have to worry about this. This is something. Our process is that we chant the holy name, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains in Sharanagati that when you chant the holy name gives you everything. Holy name is like a flower, and it gradually, you know, blooms. And when it's fully bloomed, then you can see the form of the Lord and your own form. You don't have to speculate about this. There was one devotee, one disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Somebody gave him Swarup Siddhi and said, "You're a peacock in the spiritual world." So one morning he was found, you know, staying in this position, you know, and making strange sounds. Somebody asked, "What are you doing?" He said, I'm doing my sadhana. I'm the peacock in the spiritual world. It's a pretty lousy peacock. They don't understand that the spiritual world is Bhava Jagat. Bhava Jagat means that everything there is from Bhava. Bhava means love. So all these forms of the beings is the forms of their Bhava, of their love of God. You know, this is the particular form. As much as our form is the form of our envy towards God, you know, this is the manifestation, the gross manifestation of our envy. There, every form which is there is the manifestation of Bhava. So when you develop Bhava while practicing Bhava Bhakti, you practice sadhana bhakti, then you develop Bhava. This Bhava will have certain shape. This shape is your Swarupa. So you don't have to...
I was really worried about Swarup Siddhi. I was just trying to find out, because I heard my limited experience of Krishna consciousness. There's always been discussion that...
So you just chant. You just chant. You don't have to do anything.
No, I love to just chant.
You don't have to do anything else. Everything else is just imagination. You will just, this is sahaji. That's what they think. They think that they can get to this level by the means of material mind. This kind of thing is the imagination on the level of the mind. When you try to, you know, shape your mind in a certain way, this is not the way to achieve the spiritual experience. This is not the way. And there is a sadhana, elaborate sadhana, but then we don't follow this, because Jiva Goswami, he explained in Sandarbhas that there is Ajatarati level of sadhana, and on Ajatarati level, you don't do all this smarana stuff and this stuff, you just chant the holy name. This is the sadhana. And Krishnadas Kaviraja in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he explains, this is the main link of sadhana bhakti, is chanting the holy name. This is the main link and the main means of attaining all this spiritual experience.
Am I keeping the class? Am I keeping the class? But obviously, it's going to develop. There's some ways to develop chanting when we're all about your Krishna side again. How does one do a big bhakti?
There is only one way to do it. Just chant the holy name. What's the problem? There is chant the holy name with your consciousness. Invest your consciousness within the chanting of the holy name, and everything else is coming from this. We don't get anything because we're not investing our consciousness into this process. That's the only problem. Otherwise, when you invest the consciousness, then the Bhava will bloom within your heart very soon, very quickly. For some time, some impediments will be there, actually. The one of the translation of the name by Kuntha, the name Kuntha, one of the translations, Kuntha means impediment. Sometimes Prabhupada says this is the place where there is no impediments. Sometimes it is said Kuntha means limit, the place which is unlimited. This is the spiritual world. But Kuntha also means illusion, the place where there is no illusion. Vikuntha means knowledge, when the Kuntha or illusion is totally eradicated from our heart. So we don't have any spiritual experience because we are in this world of Kuntha. Kuntha means illusion. We are in illusion. So to achieve Vaikuntha, we have to eradicate all these illusions. And the way to eradicate illusions, to overcome all the obstacles which are there, which is Kuntha within our heart, is this. When you chant, and the obstacles are there, this is on the level of anartha nivritti, which is hard. You're overcoming your anarthas. But then when you reach the stage of nishtha, there is no desire for all these lower things. Now this desire is because of the samskaras. Our lower nature is just pulling us and pushing us. So, and if on this stage you start, you know, thinking about... Once Prabhupada was speaking with somebody, and one of his disciples asked, you know, what about Swarup Siddhi? you know, Prabhupada became so angry. He said, you're not even qualified to pronounce these words for him. No, I'm not
referring to
you.
Well,
yeah, that's
when I joined a few years ago, it was quite prevalent.
Yeah, there are some section of Gaudiya Vaishnava society who are obsessed with this, and they only speak about this and they speak about that, but it's detrimental on the level because on this level, when we are offensive, and offensive means we identify with the body, like Prabhupada said that the dog is offensive. Why? Because he is passing urine on Tulasi, because he's identifying, he's stupid. The word offensiveness or atheistic in Sanskrit is called pasandata. Pasandata means you're like pashu. Pashu means animal. When you behave like an animal, when you're mechanical, when you totally identify with the body, and then you create all kinds of things. If on this level of existence we start talking about, you know, gopi is this and gopi is that, and this is offensive. This is offensive. When we try to imagine this, it's just like, you know, the spiritual world is such a delicate thing. When Lord Chaitanya was there, he was so strict about this. If somebody would create something about gopis or whatever, first Swarup Damodar would screen it. And if there was little rasabhas, little unpleasant combination of the rasas, it was totally, completely rejected. And who we are, what do we understand about this? You know, we're so gross. So there's no need for this. What is relevant for us is to try to do sadhana in a proper way, to chant the holy names in a proper way. And then gradually all the problems will be eradicated if we do it in a proper way. Okay? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.